known or washing his hands of a sticky situation. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 22. Yeah, I can't get this to turn on here. I got it. Okay. Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ, the one set apart, the one anointed?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They cried out all the more, "Let him be crucified." And Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather the tumult was rising. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, and said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." The fact of the matter was, Pilate was the only one who had authority to pass the death sentence. And yet, he passed by washing his hands of the matter. Contrast that with John chapter 13, beginning with verse 2. John 13:2, "And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." The body of Christ. Are we washing hands or are we washing feet? Are we looking for reasons not to get involved? Or are we looking to fill needs? Let's consider that today as we consider these scriptures. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful and thankful for your word. Grateful and thankful, Father, that we have these object lessons. Father, that we can look beneath the surface of the historical fact, see into the character of Pontius Pilate, reflected in this act when he could have made a difference. And we can see the character of our Lord in the service of washing the disciples' feet, a lowly task, and then dying. Father, I pray that you would help us to reflect that servant attitude, to be part of the counterculture And the kingdom that's from above. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Really, really appreciative when the Holy Spirit brings a plan together. Bob's lesson couldn't have been designed more perfectly by the choreographing of man than the Holy Spirit, see, brings us to being transferred from glory to glory and working the process. See, sometimes I think we take this idea of washing the disciples' feet as a singular event. But what it does is demonstrate the servanthood leadership of Jesus. And that process had been working all the way up, see, to this teachable moment. The process of Jesus' time on the earth, see? I mean, think about it. If all I had to do, as grisly as it is, if the only suffering that Jesus endured was the 6 hours on the cross, no. See, and the only temptation that Jesus endured wasn't the 3 times that Satan approached him after fasting. See, all this is working a process. And Jesus demonstrating his servant mentality despite the process. Pilate giving in to the pressure, see, and washing his hands of it. Pilate was merciful. I mean, he was trying to find a way to get out of this thing, you know. Same way, got him back. Man, what am I supposed to do here, you know? But then, when the pressure got on to Pilate, see, he cowardly copped out. He folded like a tent under pressure. He washed his hands of it and said, "Man, I'm not going to stand against the tide." See, Jesus said his kingdom was from above. His kingdom is not of this world. So if his kingdom is from above, it looks different than this kingdom. I think there's a temptation sometimes, just like Bob was saying, to think that somehow Christianity and the workaday life is in conflict or opposition. Okay? I can't really be successful in my career and devote the time to Christian stuff that I should. That is a completely false delineation that works its way into worship at the church of your choice. Because really, it's as we are going. So there has to be an over guiding purpose to everything that we do. Of course, you know, we work to pay bills. But God has you in that marketplace for a reason. There are people that you're going to reach in your sphere of influence that without you, they're not going to be reached. And it's not always what you say. It's oftentimes the very act of service in washing feet. Touching people by our perception and response to the needs they have. Without expecting a quid pro quo. Well, I'll never do that again. You didn't even say thanks. Or, well, that Bible study, nothing came of that, so I'm not doing that again. See? I must have done something wrong in that study. See? Now, I might have. Or, you see, well, if you're not going to listen to me, then you can just go to hell. We may not say that, but is that ever the message we send? Okay. What's the kingdom culture that we're normalizing? See, if we normalize a kingdom culture in the local congregation, it simply says, see you Sunday, see you Wednesday. See? And this is basically where church business happens. Then it's no wonder. See, this is a cultural change. This is a counterculture movement in every aspect. And if we're living in a counterculture movement, we can't be living for the applause of people. We're going to be living for the applause of the nail-scarred hands. Sometimes I have to take a hard look at, am I excusing myself from things because, well, culturally, what would you expect me to do? See, I mean, really, that's kind of above and beyond the call, is it? What if it was your son or your daughter's soul that was on the line? How much effort do you think should be expended there? How acutely aware spiritually would you want somebody to be to meet a need to wash their feet? But sometimes I think because society says, well, that's well beyond what, you know. You don't have Christian camps around here? Why in the world would Marshall drive all the way from Montana wouldn't Lake James love to have these kids? I mean, they'd have them baptized lickety-split, wouldn't they? And then have the spiritual maturity to brag about it in their newsletter. See, this is not normal. Using your vacation to go to family camps is not normal. Traveling, to Montana for youth camp is not normal. I'll tell you what, those kids who got back from Montana youth camp yesterday, they think it's normal. Marshall thinks it's normal. He even thinks it's normal to drive out there with two drivers all in one shot. You know why he thinks that's normal? That's what he's seen done. If we see each other washing feet, see, you know the 6 points of separation? Well, one person can change, more than 6 points of the dynamic simply by changing their perception. So don't worry about, well, I never got my feet washed. Nobody else washes feet. Why should I be the foot washer all the time? And you know, absolutely, I think we need to take opportunities to engage in conversation and to engage in relationships. Now, if it happened, it's not recorded that Jesus said anything about baptism, the Lord's Supper, how these disciples were going to go to hell if they didn't follow the word and remain faithful. Every conversation, see, there's some subtleness that needs to happen in a relationship before you purchase that kind of familiarity where you can begin to study. So every conversation is important. Every conversation is part of the process. Where I get my coffee in the morning, being nice to the girl behind the counter, if it never amounts to anything, it gives me practice. Last Monday, it's funny. Last Monday, I was at WLMB, the Christian television station, and did a taping for Pastor's Point. Now, I mean, you got to admit, I got a face for radio, you know. It's not something that I would necessarily hold up my hand to do. However, some years ago, a gal put my name in to do it. They called me to do it. I think this is the third time that I've done it. I kind of enjoy doing it, but sometimes I think, well, we think, well, I can't do anything like that. And besides, what if I embarrass myself? Well, you know, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than just be a fool. Now, in my own mind, do I think I got, no, but you know who else's name I put down? I said, you know any other pastors? I overlooked that, that might be interested in doing this. And I wrote down Marshall Harbor. You know what? That's not nepotism. If we don't take advantage of those kind of things, then we're not going to be cognizant, see, of the things that present themselves. We're going to have to get out of the comfort zone. You know, really washing somebody's feet, I'd rather do it with a brush, maybe, where I can stand back. Everything's convenient, you know. No, you gotta get down there, wash some feet. But how easy would it be to say, "Nah, I'm not interested in that," because that's the safe route. That's the route that, well, you know, probably a bunch of, you know, interdenominational. Well, look, they're asking you to come in. I mean. Sometimes I don't think it's necessarily that we even see it as evil when we wash our hands. Simply, we're conforming to whatever the norm is, see, that society has set. I'm thankful for these two congregations, how they work together, how they put themselves on the line, how you house people for the rally, how you bear an expense for the rally. See, in what the world calls the culture of Christianity, we'd have to have a rummage sale, a strawberry festival, or give horseyback rides to raise the money to do it. It was a big skerfluffle. That's a scriptural word, by the way. Skerfluffle. It was a big... I can't even say it again. That teaches me for lying. A big skerfluffle at one of the churches not very far from where we're at, that they were mad because the church had to buy the meat for a funeral dinner. And so they had to have a committee meeting to get a policy on who's going to buy the meat for future funerals. That's the Christian culture, quote unquote, that they're so used to washing their hands, you see, instead of taking any responsibility to serve. And yet sometimes I think that sometimes the mindset takes over that if I sit there and identify a problem, then I've taken steps to solve it. Look, the law illuminates. Faith in Christ eliminates and creates. And sometimes we fall back into that criticism mindset, and somebody ought to do something about, take your pick, you know, funeral meat, you know, how cold you guys make it in here during your rally, you know. See, our criticism needs to take the form of creativity. Now, I understand, and you know, I hate to repeat gossip, but I'm going to, because I like it. I understand that trip to Montana, there was some stinky feet going on. I won't mention Joseph Shanahan's name, but his initials are JS. So. Now, you can either complain, see, or you can be creative about the process. Anybody can criticize, see. But how many volunteered to wash your feet, Joseph?
Amen.
How many, huh?
We used Febreze.
Okay. Anybody volunteer to apply the Febreze for you?
No.
Okay. Point made. No, you get it. I mean, sometimes people do just kind of criticize. They don't know all of the facts, number one, much of the time. And so it doesn't take a lot, mentally to criticize. But what can I do to help the situation? See, Joseph brought some Febreze. But if he would have run out, see, somebody could have went to the carryout. They stopped and get gas and sell him a little Febreze. My point is, what do we normalize? See, now there's sometimes when, it's not my circus, it's not my monkeys, and, if I need drama, then I'll get on, I'll watch another episode of Law and Order. But there are sometimes, see, when we need to speak up, but we need to act up. I don't mean act up bad, but I mean we need to wash some feet. Rather than saying, well, nothing I can do about it. So the question is, what do we normalize? What do we see as normal behavior? That sets the dynamic of the congregation, and the individuals are what set the dynamic. So no, understand, if you're not pleased with the dynamic, then you need to be that change agent, not trying to change somebody else, but if you change one person, see, that 6 degrees of separation, that change, because of the nature of the relationship and the nature of the body, is going to affect the entire body. But we are susceptible to the society, and Jesus knew that. See, he knew that we were susceptible. That's one reason we have a weekly physical connection, because we're still in this body. But you know what? Sometimes I get the idea that in the church, we think that this body is just no good. Listen. God thought so much of human beings that he chose the conduit of humanity to better communicate his love than the written word could communicate. Now, that's not to deny that God's word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, but see, the conduit is something that God loves and is the best idea that God ever had. But if Satan can convince you, well, this conduit ain't very good anyhow. Get your nose in the Bible. No, God thought a lot of this conduit. But we are susceptible. That's why we need to be in worship 24/7, so that this doesn't become a add-on, a tip-out, you know, to our Christian life. It is our life. I remember somebody once asked the question, well, how do you tell the difference between what's spiritual and what's not? Well, you don't. No difference. It's all spiritual. Back when we only had three channels on the TV at most, and somebody had to get up off the couch and change the channel. There was a show called Candid Camera. Now, YouTube has taken over that market, but what Candid Camera did was set up unsuspecting people in funny situations and then film their reactions. Well, one episode called Facing the Rear had an unsuspecting person gets on the elevator, and of course he turns in the elevator and faces the front, and three of the actors come on, get on the elevator, and the three actors face the back. And so you got one guy here who got on the elevator, and look at these three guys facing the back. So, you know, the camera captures this confusion. You know, these weirdos, you know. Well, then, you know, there was a fourth actor that came into the elevator then, a little bit later, and he faced the back. Every single person who was the prankee eventually turned around and faced the back. They got on board with what they perceived as the cultural norm. We're responsible for setting a cultural norm. And what we set in the dynamic of the Lord's church as a cultural norm is what begins to be accepted as that cultural norm. See, it's a cultural norm to have the Lima rally the last weekend in June. See? Why? Well, because people made it a cultural norm. And it starts with what Bob said, with the transformation of the mind, see, renewing our mind. Because Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are made alive who were dead in our trespasses and sin, in which we once walked according to the course of the world. And the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See? That's who's working in this world. Princes rule. So it has to be a counterculture. Seeker friendly is a misnomer, because the bait that they're using for seeker friendly is getting the wrong kind of seekers. Jesus did not die to make us safe or comfortable. He died to make us dangerous. Jesus said, when he washed the disciples' feet, I'm giving you an example. I'm giving you an example that you should do as I've done to you. And most assuredly, I say to you that a servant's not greater than his master, nor is he who was sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Not to too long after Peter had been scared into the denial in front of the Sanhedrin. And that rooster crowed after Peter's third denial. That same Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled because they realized they'd been with Jesus. See, the norm is set by being with Jesus. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, a spirit of power and love and sound mind. A group of buzzards is called a committee. Now, you can Google this later and see. A group of buzzards is called a committee. And a local body without a mission needs a lot of committees. And those committees generally act like buzzards. Now, a group of rhinoceroses is called a crash. And the gates of hell will not prevail against a crash of a bunch of spiritual rhinos who are not looking to keep the status quo, but to take ground back from Satan. We're crashing against his defenses with all the authority that Jesus has given because he indwells in us. Every day, we're going to make that choice. Washing hands or washing feet. And sometimes it may seem to you that, well, how in the world can this endeavor bear any fruit? I don't know. But if the door's open, I'm going to step through it. I've been kind of drafted as the chaplain in our local nursing home. And so on Monday mornings, I go in and do a devotion. And I think, number one, these people, most of them are sleeping. They're getting rested up for jazzercise afterwards. And I think, I don't know if maybe my time would be better spent. But, God opened that up. And not only did God open it up, but who am I to question whose feet I'm supposed to wash? If there's a need, fill it. Depend on God to do his part. He's dependent on us to do our part. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said, and you love one another as I have loved you. Washing our hands and finding excuses not to, or washing feet. It's up to us.